already got a job in the Makeup Forever store. I had the job at Makeup Forever while I was still in Baltimore. I was catching the bus from Baltimore to work at the store and coming back.
I
forget about that part, actually. It was like maybe a month. It wasn't a long period of time. It was about a month, month and a half. I had gotten a job because I wanted to make sure I had some money when I was living there. My aunt told me, she lives in New York, and she was like, don't come here with no money. She was like, I don't care what those people tell you. They moved in with
$60 in their pocket.
She was like, don't do it. So I was determined that I was going to have some kind of income. I was already cutting myself by 75%. So I was like, I gotta have something. And so I got a part-time freelance job at the Makeup Forever store and was catching a bus. And so she would let me stay with her for the weekend. Like, I would work a weekend, a couple days together and go back and then come back up. And then one day, one of the people that I was working with was like, what are you doing? I was like, yeah, I would have a suitcase all the time. She was like, what are you doing? I was like, I'm going to go look at some apartments today. And she was like, you can't find an apartment like that. She was like, stay with me until you find one. And I was like, oh, okay. So I stayed with her for about 2 weeks. And I found an apartment right away. Surprisingly enough, like a week and a half in, I found that apartment. I was like, oh, okay, this is how it works.
So. Welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, a safe space for ambitious beauty industry creatives to have real talk, get authentic answers, and practical tools to grow their businesses. Join me every week as me and my special guests reveal the keys to longevity and success in the beauty industry, from the ups and downs of their journey to the nitty-gritty of their struggles and triumphs. We're spilling the tea on it all, and most importantly, having fun while doing it. You ready?
Hey, what's up? It's your best friend in beauty here, Aquia Robinson. Welcome back to another episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast. I am so happy to have you here, and I hope you're listening to this episode in high spirits and in good health. Now, on today's episode of the Friends in Beauty podcast, I have Bethany Towns in the Friends in Beauty guest chair. So Bethany is a professional makeup artist, educator, and a new full-time RVer. So welcome to the Friends in Beauty podcast, Bethany.
Oh, thank you so much for having me. Thank you.
I'm so excited. I was just telling you, like, you've been on my list of people that I wanted to talk to or interview since I started the podcast. So I'm circling back now because I feel like shortly after I started the podcast, people started reaching out to me to be on the show. So I was like taking people, but I'm like, when am I going to get back to the people I want to talk to? Like, I want to talk to certain people. So you're one of them. So it's such a pleasure to have you.
Well, I'm honored. I didn't realize that I was on the list. And I am leaning into the fact that I have way more to offer and that people love to hear from me a little bit more. It takes time for you to get into that space, but I still am always like, what do you want to talk to me for?
Yeah, I get it. Because, you know, we're in our own bodies. So we just live in our regular lives. You're like, me? Even when I go places and people recognize me sometimes, I'm like, are you sure you talk about the same person? Okay, cool. So we're walking into it. We're going to stand in it this year. But before we get started, we're going to start off with some icebreakers to get us warmed up so the Friends of Beauty audience can get to know you a little bit outside of what you do professionally. So the first one, just give us three random facts about you.
Ooh, three random facts. Most people know that I was in the Army for 8 years. That I am from Baltimore. I claim Baltimore as home. I have grown up in Richmond, Virginia as well. I was born in Massachusetts. So I've been a little bit all over the place. Another random fact. I used to be a big tennis shoe fan or a sneaker fan, sneaker head.
Okay.
But my new lifestyle has changed all of that. So I still have a very strong love for them. I don't collect them anymore as I used to.
I hear that. Okay, so you're from Baltimore, Army veteran, and a sneakerhead.
Yes.
It's still in your heart. It's still there.
It's still in my heart. It's still in my heart.
Okay. Well, with the RV life, like, what is a guilty pleasure you have right now? Are you able to indulge in anything, like any guilty pleasure still?
Yes. I think one of the weirdest to me, guilty pleasures is having a frother. I went to a friend's house and she made me coffee. I love coffee, so I have coffee almost every day. And she gave me some warm milk, and I was like, "Wait!" I was like, "I don't have to just put the little powdered creamer in my instant coffee." I was like, "I gotta buy one of these." And so I make sure that I have enough power so that I can run my frother. It's not just a little battery operated one. I was like, it needs to be warm, and it foams up, and I just have a moment. I was sitting here today, and I was like, I think it's just a process of making the whole thing and holding the cup that really does it for me. And kind of like, I'm like, oh yeah, this is my space. This is my space.
I love that. So exciting. Oh my gosh. So I have these things called pod decks. So this is a, they have random questions in them. So this is a would you rather and a what the heck? Which one do you want?
Let's do a what the heck.
What the heck? Okay, let's do it. I'm gonna pick a random card. I had this one before, but this is interesting. Is cereal soup? Like, why or why not?
Oh, wow. That's a good
Random.
one. Most people would say cereal is not soup because it's cold, but gazpacho is cold.
Yeah.
So there are some soups that are cold. I feel like there needs to be a few more ingredients for it to be a soup, though. That's where I would draw the line. Like, it's just milk
Dried something,
and right,
greens.
yeah. So I was like, there needs to be something else happening in there, because most
Okay.
soups are not just,
Like two things.
yeah.
What about tomato? Well, no, they got other ingredients and
I
stuff.
was like, even when you think about your simplest, like chicken broth, there's still like a whole bunch of herbs and spices and things that go in. I mean, you can put some plain chicken in the water, and I doubt very seriously you're gonna drink it, though.
Right,
You're gonna eat
right.
that
Hey,
soup.
that I like
Like,
that. I like that justification. Like it
so
has to have other stuff.
just
That
need some
makes
more
sense.
stuff.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
What do people always tell you that you're good at aside from what you do professionally?
Ooh. What do they tell me that I'm good at? I would like to say that they tell me that I am a good listener. Like, usually most of my friends, if it comes down, then I usually try to make it a point to let people come to their own conclusions. I may share my experience, share my advice, but I'm also like, ultimately, you have to decide what you think is best. So, I mean, we listen and we kind of talk back and forth. But I'm trying to think if there's like a theme that I actually feel like someone says I'm good at. Oh, probably baking is one of my favorite things. I love to bake a pound cake. I'll bake a cake all day long. I'm
Okay.
still trying to figure out how to, I got this little baby oven in here. I was like, we got to figure out how we're gonna bake some bread or some cake in this little teeny oven.
Little personal size ones.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. When is the last time you did something for the first time?
Well, I feel like that's my everyday life now. I think for a while I was hesitant on, I just turned 50 in June, and it's hard to do something for the first time once you get past a certain age, because you feel like you're supposed to be the expert. Once you have experience in something, you're like, oh, I should know how to do everything. I think not even just age, though. Age, being a woman, being a person of color, being like, you always want to be an expert at whatever it is you're doing, and excel in all of the things. So you never want to be the one who doesn't know how to do something. So the idea of doing something first sometimes means that you're not good at it. And so this whole RV life and RV experience has really changed my thought process on that. And I kind of did it on purpose too. I remember listening to Brené Brown talking about FFTs and your first time at doing something, and that how you just kind of have to get over it being your first time, because you always got to start from somewhere.
Yeah, and I like that how you mentioned like just getting older, you feel like you got to be the expert. It's always something new or something that you can learn no matter where you are. Because things are
Absolutely.
always evolving anyway, so.
I think people forget that you are on a constant journey of growth, and that growth is not just, oh, I get here and that's it. It's, you know, it's always progressing, and that even if you're not growing, you have to continue to put things in place so that you do continue to grow.
Right.
Because then that, I mean, what kind of life is that if you're not expanding your experience, expanding your knowledge, expanding your connections? Like, it should be always a constant involvement.
Absolutely, absolutely. Okay, so the last one for the icebreakers. Oh, are you a Gemini or a Cancer?
I'm a Cancer.
Oh, okay, I was like, what side she fall on into? Okay,
I'm a
so
Cancer.
Last one. If you weren't a makeup artist, educator, RVer, all the things, you do a lot. What else could you see yourself doing?
I feel like I am really leaning into my art life. And so I would be a teacher somewhere teaching some kind of art. And I'm trying to actually work on that part of, you know, how life always has a way of circling back around. You'll think about something years ago, and then somehow life has kind of opened up and leaned and headed down that direction. You're like, I thought that was a dream past, or I thought that was not the direction I should be going. And lo and behold, everything else has led you back into that same space. So it's kind of interesting that I am thinking about, again, leaning into the idea that I'm actually an educator and that I do have lots of things to share,
mm-hmm.
and wanting to be able to lean into art. And just, again, the way that it makes me feel is the one thing that I'm like, I feel like everybody should feel like this, uh-huh. when they're doing it. So that's, I think that's the thing.
I love that. Do you have an art background before you started doing makeup?
Not at all.
That's so funny. I'm like dibbling and dabbling. Like during the pandemic, I did like this big canvas. It was just like poor art or poor painting with like different colors and stuff. But it turned out so nice that I was almost, see?
Yeah,
and I just saw something on Instagram yesterday with them blowing the paint and stuff like that. But it really made me consider like, oh, maybe I should make some canvases and like sell them or something, because it came out so good.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's hard to, like, you want to monetize everything. And I was really in the space of, oh, I'm going to make all this art, I'm going to sell it. And I was like, I think I got into my own way as far as selling it, but it became so personal, such a personal journey of growth, that I was like, I wasn't ready to let go of the pieces that I'd actually made. Mm-hmm. But also the idea of making everything a business sometimes gets in our way of being able to enjoy the process.
Yes.
Because we are now it's a business. Now you have to do it. Now it's not doing it out of fun. It's doing it because you know, you got to fulfill this order. So that has to be a balance. I'm still searching for that space. But yes, I've had a couple of people ask me if I'm going to make some art, if I'm going to do some things. I've done everything from do paintings to journals to, I made a bunch of handmade journals last year, and then crocheting. I do a lot of crocheting.
I used to crochet when I was younger.
Yeah.
I just bought my niece. She's like the same age as me when I started. She's 11. So I learned how to crochet when I was 11, and I just bought her some needles and yarn and stuff for Christmas, because that's what she wanted. It's like, you got it.
Again, it's very interesting how life works. I remember my grandmother showing me years ago, and I think I did it like a couple times and it wasn't even a thing. And then as I've gotten older, there's been pockets in my life where I've picked it up and done a lot with it, put it down, picked it back up, done a little bit more. So I made about 200 little preemie hats to take to the hospital right during pandemic, and of course they weren't accepting them, so I still have them. They're in the storage. I have to find a hospital now to give them to, but at the time they weren't taking them, and I just kept making them.
That's so cute. I love that.
Hey, what's up? I know you're enjoying the episode, but I have to put you on to Friends in Beauty's newest community, the Trailblazers Club. The Trailblazers Club is a place where success not only leaves clues, but becomes a tangible reality for beauty pros just like you. See, a lot of my friends in beauty are so talented and so skilled at what they do, but they lack the essential business skills that are needed to grow and sustain their businesses or they lack the support that is needed to stay consistent to execute their goals. And that's exactly why I wanted to create the Trailblazers Club, to be able to support you on your journey. Exclusively inside of the Trailblazers Club, you will unlock expert-led masterclasses and breakout sessions every single month, monthly Q&A and mentorship with me, your best friend in beauty, an exclusive and extensive network of beauty pros, support and accountability, access, unlimited access at that, to the archive masterclasses, discounts on select Friends in Beauty events and classes, and so much more. And get this, y'all, it's only $25 a month. You heard that right. It's only $25 a month. But you know how Fat Joe said, yesterday's price won't be today's price, or, you know, that saying, that's exactly how it's going to be. So you might want to get in while you can. I'll go ahead and leave the link down below, and your fellow Trailblazers are inside waiting for you, and we hope to see you soon. Let's go ahead and get back to the episode.
I love that. Okay. Well, how is RV life going? I saw you just celebrated. Maybe it's maybe like 2 months now that you've been RVing.
About 2 months. Isn't that crazy? Yes. I purchased the RV at the end of, trying to think of my timeline, at the end of August, but I didn't pick it up until the end of September.
Okay.
And then when I picked it up the end of September, it was in Seattle. And so I literally had no license, no nothing. I went and got my license. That Wednesday, I passed the test. Thursday, I registered the vehicle. And Friday, I flew to Seattle, picked it up, and drove it across to Jersey.
That's crazy. How long did that take?
It was about 8 days. It could have been shorter. It was just, again, of being nervous of this big vehicle, it being new, taking my time. Mm-hmm. I knew that I was like, I'm not going to rush myself. It's going to take however long it takes. And mm-hmm. It's okay for that. I did stop and visit a friend in Montana.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody I'd actually met, in a makeup artist I met in New York. And I was like, when else will I be out this way? I was like, I'm only a couple hours. Might as well just keep on going. So I ended up in Montana for a night and then went to visit some family in Minnesota for a night, and they were like, no one ever comes to visit us. And I was like, I don't know when I'll be back in Minnesota, but I'm coming across, I might as well stop through. So it was a leisurely trip. I was on the only time constraint I had is I needed to be out of my apartment by the end of October. So okay. It was like, I think I made it back to Jersey October 10th, and so it was the mad race of the downsizing process is such,
I can imagine.
Ooh, that was a hard one. That was a really hard.
Did you have to like give a lot of things away or sell stuff? Yeah.
Yeah, I got to the point where I finally, it was, and which I, again, we all know life happens exactly how it's supposed to. So I think I ended up in such a pressure spot of, I was like, oh, I'm gonna sort these things, I'm gonna keep this, I'm gonna give this away. And so I had all these little piles of things, and when you got to crunch time, I was like, the junk man, I was like, come get them.
Pull it up, like back it on
I
in.
I was like, come get everything, because I did, I had a gift pile, I had a sell, a keep, a donate, a trash. And so I was really trying to sort and be mindful, because again, that was the other thing of just this lifestyle in general, is just being more intentional about the things that I keep around me, the way I move, my waste. Yeah. So there was a lot of struggle in that whole process. As makeup artists, we have a tendency to be in the mindset, and of course the military is also added into that for me, is being prepared for anything. So mm-hmm. You always want to have something just in case.
Yeah.
So I had so many just in case items. And I said, you know what? The world is not going to come to an end if I can't save them. It's like somebody else would have to be the savior for today.
Yeah.
I was like, I just can't have all the just in case items. So the only thing I allowed myself to not stress about was my art stuff. I was like, I'm not going to sort that. I was like, I can't. I would literally probably fall apart. Uh-huh. I was like, I'm just immediately going to put all of that stuff in storage. And so that was the easiest part, was packing all of that. I had a friend come and sit with me, and we sorted through all the makeup things.
Ooh.
And I thought those two things were going to be the most difficult, but it really became increasingly difficult as the timeline got shorter, because you kind of want to give yourself a break, but there is no break. It's like, we don't have any time. You just gotta go. So when I came to the realization that I could buy this again, that was the thing that did it for me. I was like, I wanted to keep this fireplace, this mantelpiece that I bought, and I was so excited about buying it. It had brought me so much joy, and I was like, I gotta keep it. And I was like, well, where are you really gonna put this mantelpiece?
Yeah,
I was like, you're not gonna put it in this RV. Where are you? And in my mind, I was literally trying to figure out where I was gonna put it,
right,
in here somehow, or give it to somebody. And I was like, you know what? I don't know why I didn't have this aha moment 3 weeks ago, but I finally have come to the moment that I could probably buy this one or a better one when the time comes. So it doesn't make sense to store it, to pay to have it in storage all this time. Like, the money you would pay to store it is the money that you could have used to just buy a new one.
So
that was the saving grace for me, was just realizing that I immediately, once I realized that, I called them up and I was like, come get everything.
All of it.
Take it all out. And so that made it a lot easier.
So what was like the ultimate decision? Like, why'd you want to do the RV life?
I've had the travel bug for quite some time.
Okay.
So I joined the military to travel, and the only place they sent me to Hawaii, and I was in Hawaii for 4 years, but I was young at the time. I wanted to get back to Baltimore for some reason. My sister and brother were young, and I was like, oh, I'm too far away. And so my traveling journey was cut short then. And then I went through a phase of one, I knew I wanted to live near water. Water is the thing that really,
me too,
calms me, moves me. And so I was like, I want to go to St. Croix. So I was going to move to St. Croix, but I had so many people who talked me out of it. And they were just like, what are you going to do? What happens if you get sick? What happens this? What happens that? And because I didn't have answers, and pardon, I am in a parking lot, so you'll hear the horns. Because I didn't have answers for them, it stunted my ability to move. Like, I was like, well, I don't have the answer, so I shouldn't, you know, I couldn't make that decision. I was like, I can't make this decision if I don't have all the answers to everybody's question.
Mm-hmm.
And so then here comes RV life with I was thinking more of a van or a school bus. School bus is where I really wanted to go. But the idea of custom building something how would I custom build a space that I've never been in? I wouldn't know exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
And also, custom building costs so much money. So the strike happened and I needed to get out of this apartment. And it's a culmination of a bunch of things. Like, living in New York is just, there's no way to save, really. Like, you're always living to live. You're always working to live. So there's not really a way to plan for any kind of future. So I said, oh, maybe I'll go to Jersey and I'll be able to afford something. Same thing there. And work is primarily here. So I kind of need to be in the area. But then when we're not working, I'm just kind of sitting.
Yeah.
So I was like, I need to be a little bit, I guess it's time to get a car was the first thing. And then I was like, well, how am I going to afford this car? I can't afford this apartment.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, do I downsize my apartment? So it was, again, a progression of thoughts that got me to, well, I can put wheels on my, first it was a mobile studio, I was thinking. And then I was like, well, actually, I could just live in it. When I got onto the van life craze and the watching all the YouTubes, the thousands of hours of YouTube videos. And I was like, this is actually a real thing. Like, I could probably do this and make it work. So again, my thought process was van and bus for like the last 4 or 5 years. Wow. And in the last 3 or 4 months, it switched to RV because the RV, I couldn't figure out how to finance this dream. I was like, I'm not going to let everybody's questions stop me from making this happen. I was like, so I'm going to do this. And I was like, I need to figure out another way. And so the RV, I just happened to, again, we just don't, sometimes we just don't ask, excuse me, we don't ask the right questions. And I was like, maybe the bank will give me some money.
Yeah.
And so again, why this thought didn't come anytime sooner, but I was like, and so when she was like, oh, sure, we'll give you a loan. And I was like, what? You're going to give me money? I don't even have a job right now.
Right.
Hey. We're in the middle of this strike. We don't have a so they gave me a loan, and then they even increased the loan, and I was like, oh, okay. I was like, this is about to really happen. And again, it, the pieces of the puzzle just kind of fell into place. You know how it says, like, if something is meant, things just, the sky just opens up, opportunities just happen, and it just kind of, it really did align exactly how it should. Now that's not to say that it's not, it's been easy. It's still been a tough ride. It's still a hard learning curve. I've been learning quite a bit of things about RV life. It's very different from van and bus life in that this has systems that are already in place, and I knew nothing about how anything worked in here.
Yeah.
So, but so rewarding. Already I feel like I had a couple of moments that I felt like the Grinch that stole Christmas. Like my heart just expanded so much just in a couple of exchanges with people that I would never talk to before. People offering help and just not even without any hesitation, no preconceived anything. It was like, oh sure, I'll help you. What do you need? And I'm like, why do I struggle with this? This is a point that I didn't realize that I struggle with, the idea of needing help, of course.
Mm-hmm.
Also accepting help, allowing people to help you just because they want to help you.
Mm-hmm.
Knowing that that's
the ulterior motive.
Nothing at all.
Yeah.
I'm like, that's the place I motivate from. So why is it so hard for me to know that other people move that way?
Mm-hmm.
And then why is it so hard for me to allow that to happen for me? Again, I think, of course, there's deep rooted things in there, as in, as people of color, we always kind of move a little different. We always have a different expectation. There's no, or at least no expectation most of the time. Like I can't expect the same things that other people expect. I feel like I have to make sure that I have everything together. And so, with that pressure, I'm like, now I'm seeing that, oh, I'm thinking these people feel entitled to have these kind of things, but I'm actually worthy of receiving these kind of,
absolutely,
this kind of help or this kind of love or appreciation or assistance throughout life. I was like, I don't know why, somewhere in the wiring and in how you grow up, you know, everything's rooted to our childhood trauma. Somewhere in there, being worthy of just people just being good, just to be good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Kind of, there was a disconnect. And so being able to be in touch with that has been one of the biggest lessons, besides all the other little things.
Has it been anything that's happened yet that you didn't anticipate? I know you did all your research, so you like, okay, I don't know what to expect from watching other people's videos.
What has happened? There's been so much that's happened. there's really been quite a few things. But I think that, again, learning that the little things that happen are part of the journey, and that there is no immediate end destination, because I've had everyone, oh, where you going? Where you want to travel? I was like, this is about the entire journey and our entire process. It's not about, oh, I just bought this just so I could go to Yellowstone Park kind of thing. Like, I was like, this is about an entire shift in mindset and thought process and moving. And so I think the biggest, learning so much about how vehicles operate. I was like, I worked all the things throughout your life. I was like, I've owned cars before. I've driven before. Mm-hmm. I've worked in a motor pool when I was in the Army. I mean, it was a very short time, but you still have these experiences through life. And so you never realize how much you don't know until you're like, oh, where's the oil? Did I feel like such a girl? I'm like, well, where's the windshield wiper fluid go? So again, just learning all the mechanics of the car. Like, I just came from the mechanic this morning. I don't think I realized how long I am, how long and how wide I am. I made a TikTok video about it. I was like, I'm actually way wider than I think I am. So sometimes I'm just driving down the road and I'll take up an entire road and I'm like, you see me. You see me, get out the way. But I had a little fight with the trash can. It was a cement trash can in Newark. The streets are a little narrow in the cities. Uh-huh. So that's why a van or a bus would have been a little bit better, because I wouldn't have been quite as wide. But so I went to the mechanic this morning so he could fix my little corner. And we talked about all kinds of other work. And then he kind of explained some other things about winterizing. I was like, oh, I wasn't ready for that. I was like, winterizing? Okay. I was all like, I was supposed to be down south during this time. Like, I wasn't supposed to be having to go through winter. My very first experience in the RV during winter, but we're at work. So I'm thankful to be back at work. Thank you. Yes. To be able to afford this lifestyle and to be able to pay for all of the things that need to be fixed in here.
Yeah. Like, I was going to ask you that too. Like, how do you plan on, I guess, balancing work and living in the RV? Like, you'll just, when you, I want to ask, like, do you plan on traveling when you're not working, or how do you make sure that you're like in the city to get do jobs, but you had the RV?
Yeah. So the original thought process was, once we weren't working, I would be able to take off and go somewhere. Cause we have most of the projects that I work on are 3 months, 3 to 6 months. Mm-hmm. So there's a 2 to 3 month period in between sometimes that I'm not doing anything. And so instead of flying somewhere, I'm like, oh, I can just get into the RV and drive.
Right.
So I wasn't anticipating having to actually figure out working while I'm, you know, in the RV immediately. I was like, I figured I would have some time figuring out how the RV worked first and then would get a job. But immediately started working the beginning of December.
Okay.
And luckily the production is in Jersey. So we're all over the place in Jersey every day. I didn't realize how much money I was spending in Ubers. Get back and
it's
forth.
So expensive now. Oh my God.
I did not realize how much money. Like, so now I can just drive. I drive to set. So like today I'm nearby where we're going to shoot, which was like a 45 minute ride from where the mechanic was, or from where our home base, our stages are. And so I'm like, oh, I'm already in the area. I'm like 10 minutes away. I'll probably stay here for the night. And then a lot of times they'll find places for me to park on set. So far, they've been very accommodating and very helpful. Again, allowing them to, first, I didn't want to tell anybody. I was really nervous. I was like, I don't want anybody to know. And I was like, how can they not know? You got this great big RV.
They probably
RV want
to come in and see how you got it set up and everything. Like, want a tour. Yeah.
It's been really, really nice. So I've been able to park near set and be close to location. So I think next week we're down South Jersey near Jersey Shore. Mm-hmm. So I'll be able to go down there, stay down there for a couple of days and then come back. So it's, again, it's just so far the planets have aligned. It's been very amazing. And I've been able to just travel around with the show, as, like I said, as we go from spot to spot each day.
Yes. Are you mainly working in like TV and film now? Like,
We're on a TV show right now. Again, mostly episodic TV. I haven't done a film in a while. I think the last film I did was during the pandemic. I think we were in Ohio for a couple months. Wow. But the New York area is really big in episodic TV. So I've been doing a lot of TV, enjoying it.
Okay. Is it like scripted or reality?
It's scripted. I'm not going to say the name of the TV show just because, well, it's been announced. So, I mean, it's not a big deal, but I'm only going to not say it just be for the safety of the show and the people and knowing that I'm in this area. But it is a another Ryan Murphy project. So,
okay.
So he's done quite a few projects in the New York, New Jersey area. For some reason, he must love it here. Mm-hmm. And so he has a couple of things happening in this area.
Yeah. Are these like union productions?
Yes.
Okay. I'm thinking about trying to get into the union.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Process is just like, it just scares me, but I'm gonna try. Maybe.
It's a little easier than you think. Once you're actually doing things, we can have a whole separate conversation about that. Whatever you need to know, I'm absolutely willing to help you get as much as you possibly can. It is a system that is slowly modifying the way that their process is, because again, we know that everything was not created for us to get in easily. So they always put all these things in to make sure that you can prove that you really want to be there. And so they're doing a they're adding a few things to make it a little bit easier for you to get in, for just anybody to get in. I think it was very they were very selective about the people that they wanted in the beginning. And now it's broadening quite a bit as far as not even just sex and race and ethnicity, that kind of thing. They're, like, it's broadening as far as your skill set, like different types of skills they're really including in. So now they're actually trying to lean into getting nails to have their own specialty instead of us trying to have to do them, or barbers actually being able to be
Right. I heard about that one.
The barbers was a big deal because, again, expecting, I'm hoping that again they change even more so, because as far as makeup artists, we're responsible for anything that's from the hairline down. So that means all the male
I
grooming that happens
mean,
here. And so on most union projects, you work with the hairstylists and the barbers, and if the talent really wants someone else professional to do them, I mean, we have the ability and the skill, but we don't have the certification. So I'm like, if
right.
you want a true barber, that's who you need to go to. I was like, I can fix you, but you know. And so it's, again, it was just so awesome that they're really starting to see that there needs to be that people specialize in special skills the same way you specialize in special effects. There's even areas of special effects that you can specialize in. Like, it's not all one thing. So it's awesome that they're, I mean, it's sad that it's taken this long, but that's how life is, right? We just,
Everything is evolving with the
everything's evolved.
times.
Yes.
How long have you been doing makeup now?
2006.
Okay.
Yeah, so 17, 18 years.
Wow, I'm not even going to pretend to do the math in
Yeah,
my
I was like, is
head.
that bad math? It's been a while. It's been a while. I didn't realize time had gone by that fast. Like, when I was at the mechanic shop, the lady was like, "Oh, you've been doing this a while, huh?" And I was like, "Yes, ma'am." She was like, "So you're really getting your name out there?" And I was like, "Yes, ma'am, I sure am."
That's cute.
I sure am. I had to think about it. I was like, you know what? I need to stop acting like I started yesterday. I still feel like sometimes, again, I do enjoy the excitement that you feel when it feels like it's still new. You know, I just started yesterday, but I still have to remember that I did not start yesterday. And so I need to start leaning into the fact that I've been
Yes.
around for a minute. I've been doing
Standing
some
that power.
things.
Hey, I know you're enjoying the episode, but I need you to do something really, really important for me, like right now. I need you to leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts and let the people know how much you love the Friends of Beauty podcast. See, in the podcast streets, I'm gonna let you know something. If you don't leave a review, then people don't know that the show exists, and then the show won't grow. Reviews are so essential to the continued success of the Friends of Beauty podcast, and plus, I really just want to know what you think about the podcast. I appreciate all the DMs, but a 5-star review would be even better. I would love to read your review on the show and give you a shout out for being a loyal listener. And if it's not a 5-star review, don't even worry about it. All right, don't even worry. Just go ahead and send me an email, honey. We ain't got time for that. If you're watching me on YouTube, don't forget to subscribe, give this video a thumbs up, and even leave a comment to share a takeaway from something that you learned so far. If you don't subscribe or give a thumbs up, then the YouTube streets don't know that the Friends of Beauty podcast exists either. You see how this is going? This is a group effort, and I appreciate you so, so much. Okay, I'm done. Let's go ahead and get back into the episode.
I've been doing some things.
Yeah. Do you have any career highlights that stand out to you? Like, wow, I really did that. Like, that was great.
I think one of the things that I had mentioned to someone before is that I just love the idea that I'm in a position now to be able to just hire my friends. That have either worked with me, people that I know, people that have come up with me in this journey, that we are able to now be like, hey, I'm building a team. I need you to be on my team. I know that you are the person that I need. I know it's your skill set. Or that there's people that you know that are trying to get a footing, and you're like, hey, I have the ability to be able to give you this time, to this experience to grow. So come hang out with me. Yeah. That was how it was on Annie Live. I was able to, I was a department head on that show, and it was only, it was a live show. So it was only like maybe 2 or 3 days that we were together, but to be able to have a team of about 12 to 15 artists and to have us all together again, you're working with your friends and your family. Like, it can't get any better than that.
Yeah, it was such Annie Live.
Yes.
What's that?
Annie Live,
Annie,
like,
oh,
the,
you said Andy.
Annie, the with the one that had that was on TV. Remember with Taraji P. Henson, with Nicole Scherzinger, with
I don't be watching TV like that.
Junior, did a live of that, and so that was actually really fun. I've done I got to go to the World Series. That was a big deal, just because my dad loved baseball so much. And the year before that, he had passed. And so to be able to go to the World Series was just like, Dad, I'm here. I'm at the World Series. This is cool. So it's little things like that. It's nothing like super crazy where you're like, it would mean something to anybody else. I think I did a campaign for Lane Bryant once, and that was a big deal for me just because I worked at Lane Bryant when I was in Baltimore. I was like,
wow.
I was like, I remember working at the retail store and was like, again, before I even did any makeup, I was like, they really need to do something with these campaigns. They look crazy.
I'd be looking at stuff like that too. Like, I need to reach out to this brand and just pitch myself because it could be better.
Those full circle moments to be able to work on a project that you're like, I remember back in the day when I used to be like, oh, what is this? And so to be able to stand there and be like, hey, I did this. Mm-hmm. This is cool.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. I remember when I first met you. It was a long time ago. Yes. I have a picture. I would see if I could insert. Either I'll post it or maybe I'll insert it into the episode. Okay. I have a picture of you came to Bennett to do the Celebrity Makeup Artist Symposium in 2013. Goodness.
Oh my God.
Yes. Jamea was assisting you. That it was like you, it was you, Reggie Wells, Morrell, Ziani Coates.
Yes.
Yeah. Somebody else. Yeah.
Mr. Bennett, I give him all the praises. He's still doing it. He was one of the first, like in 2007, I want to say, or 8, he did the Bennett Career Makeup Artist Symposium. And I went to the symposium, and that's how I ended up meeting Michael DeVellis and James Vincent and so many other, that I say the two of them specifically just because of my involvement in the makeup show. Like, it really, as soon as that happened, I really kind of like connected with the people at the makeup show and was with them for the entire time. But like you said, Reggie Wells was there. Derek Rutledge was there. Why is his name? I can see his face. AJ was there. Right. Danessa was there. I'm spacing right now. My brain.
It'll come to me.
There was a lot of people, and I was like, "This is such an Billy B was there." It was such an amazing opportunity just, again, be in rooms with people that, again, it was beyond what you would think. You know, I'm thinking makeup counter manager, national mm-hmm. artist level. And to actually see these people doing what I do on such an elevated level, I was like, wait, this is actually a little more attainable than what I could have even imagined.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is when, you know, I think life has a tendency to always want to put us in a box or always have to put us in a space. This is where you need to focus on. And so people like Chet Bennett to be able to expose you to these things. There's other things out there. You don't have to follow a certain diagram or a certain list to mm-hmm. get to the next level. That there's really, you have to think outside the box.
Yeah, you really do. That year was like so great for me because I had just started doing makeup. I always kind of credit like January 1st, 2013, because I finished, mm-hmm. I went to Bennett. So I finished at Bennett in December 2012. So I always just say 2013 I started. But I assisted Morel during the symposium that time. I assisted Morel. And ever since then, it's just been amazing because I met Morel there. Then the makeup show, we had the bus that went up to the makeup show. I met AJ for the first time there. I met Danessa, ended up working with both of them like later mm-hmm. on down the line. I met Crystal Wright. I just interviewed her a few weeks ago. Had Crystal Wright. I met her there. Just so many people that it kind of like set me up for like where I am now with all the people that I met at that one makeup show and at the symposium.
I feel the same way. I was like, when people say that they've never heard of the makeup show, I'm like, what? I'm like, you have to, again, I won't say I stumble upon it because again, life happens as it's supposed to, but I was doing a lot of research from my desk job online, and I found the symposium and I found the makeup show. And so I had just missed one of the very first makeup show and was able to catch the symposium. And then the next makeup show was happening right after that. And I was like, once you felt that energy, it was almost like the energy in the space was electrified. It was, at least for me, when I walked in, I was like, these are my people. Like I felt like I was home. I was like, this is what I need to feel every day, all day.
Yeah.
And so I would just chase show to show to show and just keep showing up. I was like, one day.
Yeah, I love that. I do a bus trip. This year will be the third time that I'm doing a bus trip from D.C. to the makeup show. But we did one last year, too. It was so much fun. Everybody had a good time. But I'm trying to get on with the makeup show in some kind of way. Since I have this platform now, I got to follow up with Shelly. She told me just let her know what I'm trying to do and she'll see. Yes,
absolutely.
Like, I could more than likely host a panel or have a mini version of the podcast on one of the stages or something like that. So we'll see.
Oh, yes. That's such a good idea.
Yeah, I'm trying to let me in here because I've been trying to get a hold of Michael for the longest. He gave me his number, but he's just so busy. So I'm going to keep trying.
Yes, yes, yes. Michael is the powder group and Shelly is the makeup show. They split years ago. I want to say right around 2013, right? Mm-hmm. Right around that time, maybe it'll even a little sooner than that. And so the direction that Shelly has taken the show, her and Danessa and James Vincent have really taken it in such an amazing space. And so they're really, again, opening up opportunities for a lot more smaller businesses and smaller companies and indie. And so it just really, it's really a more niche audience, which I love. Yeah. I love the idea that our audience is very homey and very connected.
Mm-hmm.
I love that Michael is really focusing on education for the powder group and still making education affordable for people. That's right. The other thing. Again, most people are like, oh, I can't afford to attend this class. And he's like, we're doing it online. We're having it in New York, or we're having it if we're coming to a space near you. So I've loved being able to teach color theory classes or makeup 101 through there with them. It's been an awesome opportunity.
Yeah, I love that. Do you have any plans on retiring from makeup one day?
I do. I don't know if my spirit is ready for it, but my body is ready for it.
I know that's right.
I was like, makeup is really a hard thing on your body. We're like pack mules. We carry everything, all kinds of things. So my shoulders, my back, mm-hmm. my my wrist has been bothering me a lot. And so I'm doing all the things that you can do to try to prolong it. But I also am being mindful that when your body starts talking to you, you got to start listening.
Okay, because it'll shut down.
So it may not be that I'm not going to do it at all. It just may be, again, transitioning to a different space, a different way of doing it. Yes. But I think ultimately I would love to have an art studio where I could just teach art all day, whether it's to kids or adults, and just have a space where I can create my own and then help other people tap into their creative energy.
Mm-hmm. I'm not even 50 yet, but I'm like, every now and then I'm like, I get a client that may just not be the best. And I'm like, I don't think I want to do this anymore.
I've had a couple of those as well. And then the best part though is when you're able to say, yeah, I'm not going to do that anymore for real. I've had a couple of jobs that were combo makeup and hair. That's what I usually do through my agency. And the last, I think I had one job and I said, you know what? I don't want to do hair anymore at all.
Mm-hmm.
I'm good on that. I've done enough.
Right, because in the union, you have to choose whether you want to do hair or makeup, right?
Yes. And so to not have done it for so long and then to have to, you know, to do it and then not, it just didn't give me the same satisfaction and feeling. And I was like, this is way more work than what mentally and way more things for me to carry. I was like, again, it's a whole nother kit and a whole nother thing to bring. I was like, yeah, I can
get somebody else to do it. Shoot. I think I might get to the point where I just deal with like my existing clients, like people who have already come through the pipeline, and leave the new people alone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think you'll also, another good thing that I think happens to all of us is that we always end up with these opportunities that we send to other people. And some people actually turn that into a business. They're like, I get these jobs all the time. I can do finder's fees or 10% or 20%, like whatever commissions you can do to say, hey, I'm going to pass along these jobs because, and the next thing you know, you become your own agency.
Right. Right. Cause that's what I'd be doing all the time. I just literally started making a sheet though. I talked to this lady recently that she told me she has something you can make in Canva where it just has the list of referrals on there, because I'm always just like, okay, here's this person, here's this person, here's this person. But I'm like, I'm about to just send this link and you'll have a list of the people who I normally refer anyway, but I'm always referring people. But I'm like, it could really be an agency.
It could. It actually could. I know so many people who it's quickly turned into an agency situation because I like to refer, but I like to refer knowing that the person is available and knowing that the person is qualified for the job. So if I'm already doing the hard work for you, I'm making sure that they're qualified enough to be able to handle the job, and I'm making sure that they're available for that day because I'm texting. I'm like, hey, you're available. I'm like, the only other part of that is negotiating a rate.
Right.
I was like, you start negotiating a rate, next thing you know, you can have a whole contract. You just factor yourself into that rate. You're like, oh, it's $750. We're going to charge $1,000 because $150 of that is going to me for all this hard work that I've done.
Yeah, for putting y'all together.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. I love it.
All right. I see it happening for you. You're about to have your own agency now.
Look, I'm always trying to do something. I've been thinking about podcasting and like a podcasting type of agency, all types of stuff. I have all types of ideas. For me, it's the execution of the ideas, the resources, the money to make it happen. So I'm trying to tap into like grants and stuff like this year, like being intentional about applying to grants and just, seeing, what happens and stuff.
Oh, that's amazing. That's amazing. Again, we always stop ourselves because we're like, oh, we don't have the money or the resources to do this.
Mm-hmm.
And I have stopped myself quite a few times and not tapping into those outside resources to be able to gain the money to do the things that you want to do. I've wanted to do a bag for so long and I just kept saying, oh, I don't have the money to do it. So I just never moved forward on it. But again,
like the makeup bags?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think now it'll come back, but it'll probably be more of a camping bag.
No, that's right. But I think camping supplies and your makeup supplies.
Yeah, I was gonna say I think it could do both. I think it could do both. Like it could carry your camping things and your makeup things in it.
Yeah, I want to ask you too about just strategically. Have you been strategic about building relationships, or is it just something that comes natural to you? Because you mentioned like being able to hire your friends now, and then meeting Michael and, you know, everybody, and then now being a part of the Makeup Show family. Was that like a strategic thing, or did it just organically happen?
So I will say I believe that it organically happened. I had a friend, this, again, back to those Lane Bryant days, right before I started doing makeup, actually. I was working at Lane Bryant. And I had a friend who was a network marketer and was very heavy into trying to get me into being a part of the thing. He was like, all you have to do is do this, do this, do this. And I was so confused. I didn't understand anything that he was talking about. And I was like, no, that's not me. It doesn't make sense. I'm not a seller. I don't do this. I don't do this. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after, I had started doing makeup. And I was literally on this. I'm dating myself. This was back when MySpace and Facebook were big. So I was on MySpace every day. Messaging.
I used to love MySpace.
commenting on people's things. And I was like, I talk about Tia Daniels all the time because she was the only one that actually really answered me back.
Yes, Tia. She
started to do Jennifer Hudson at the time.
Yeah.
She had just, I think she had just won American Idol or was just doing something. So she had just started working on it. I was like, oh my God, your work is amazing. And she answered me back. I asked her about her website. She answered me back about her website. Just, again, just making those contacts just in passing. I wasn't thinking that anything was coming from it.
Right.
And so circling back to this same person that was trying to get me in, said that he was like, you know that you're doing all the things that I was asking that you said that you couldn't do and that you didn't know how to do. And I was like, oh yeah. He was like, but obviously this is a space that you're meant to do it in because mm-hmm. it's coming so organically that it's not forced. It's not, you don't even feel like you're doing it, but yet and still I was doing all the things. So by the time I moved to New York, I didn't move to New York until 2010.
Okay.
So I started, but I went to Bennett in 2006 or seven. So all that time of being online and going to the shows, attending the shows, meeting the people, by the time I went to New York, they thought I lived there already. James didn't know I didn't live in Baltimore until after, I want to say at least a year, year and a half after it might have been longer than that. Because I want to say 2008 or so, he called me and asked me to do a job. And I was like, oh, let me check the bus schedule.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I should be able to get there in a couple hours. And he was like, bus schedule? Where are you coming from? I was like, I'm coming from home. He was like, where's home? I was like, from Baltimore. And he was like, oh, yeah, don't come. And I was like, no, I can make it.
Right.
That used to be
the thing that would get me, too. It was like people, they kind of count you out. Like, I'm like, I'm willing to travel. Like, don't count me out. I'm coming.
I was like, I'm going to come. But again, knowing him, it was more so he just didn't want me to pay the expense to come for a free job.
Okay.
So he put the stipulation on to me. That's when he was like, call me when you come to New York. And I was like,
oh, my God.
I hadn't even thought about moving.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I guess I gotta move now. I was like, I guess I need to move. And so again, it just all kind of lined up where I didn't have anything that was really keeping me in Baltimore.
Mm-hmm.
And so by the time I got to New York, I literally had a network of people. I'd already got a job in the Makeup Forever store. I had the job at Makeup Forever while I was still in Baltimore. I was catching the bus from Baltimore to work at the store and coming back.
What? Oh,
yeah,
my
I don't
goodness.
Think I forget about that part, actually. It was like maybe a month. It wasn't a long period of time. It was about a month and a half. I had gotten a job because I wanted to make sure I had some money when I was living there. My aunt told me, she lives in New York, and she was like, don't come here with no money. She was like, I don't care what those people tell you. They moved to with
$60 in their pocket.
She was like, don't do it. So I was determined that I was going to have some kind of income. I was already cutting myself by 75%. So I was like, I got to have something.
Mm-hmm.
And So yeah, so I got a part-time freelance job at the Make a Forever store and was catching a bus. And so she would let me stay with her for the weekend. Like I would work a weekend, a couple days together and go back and then come back up. And then one day this one of the people that I was working with was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "Yeah, I would have a suitcase all the time." She was like, "What are you doing?" I was like, "I'm going to go look at some apartments today." And she was like, "You can't find an apartment like that." She was like, "Stay with me until you find one." And I was like, "Oh, okay." So I stayed with her for about 2 weeks and I found an apartment right away. Surprisingly enough, like a week and a half in, I found that apartment. And I was like, "Oh, okay. This is how it works."
So, wow. That's so interesting that you even mentioned the back and forth thing, because that's what I used to do too. And I didn't even necessarily see it as networking. Mm-hmm. It was just that when I started doing makeup, I didn't know anybody personally that was doing makeup. Yeah. And it seemed like most of the events were in New York. So I would always be on that mega bus or that Chinese bus going back and forth. And people thought I lived in New York because like you start going to the different, I used to go to like the Powder Group stuff.
Yes.
Just other events, and you see the same, most like the same people a lot of the time. So they thought that I lived in New York, and I was like, "No, I'm in DC."
You live there. Yeah, absolutely. You're like, "Oh, I'm from the DMV," and they're like, "Wait, you still live there?" And you're like, "Yeah, actually, actually, I still live there." Yeah, and it's easy, I guess, when we're in the DMV area, like that commute is nothing to us.
Yeah, it really isn't.
I said, it's more expensive now, but at the time, I mean, the bus was $25, maybe less. Sometimes you could catch it on a special and you could get on the bus and just 3 hours later, you wake up, you're like, "Oh, I'm here. I'm ready to do whatever it is I need to do." So it wasn't a hard commute at all. I don't want to do it again, but.
You got your van now. You got your RV.
Yes, I got my RV now. So we'll do it that way.
Yeah. What have you learned about yourself in this short amount of time in the RV?
Oof. That I think the biggest one of, there's been this has been such a growing experience, besides the fact of learning about how hard it is for me to accept help or reach out for help. I'm not quite as, I think mentally I'm more eager to do renovations than I am physically. I kind of get in my own way with that whole thought process. I overthink things. I think that's where this is. I'm starting to realize that I overthink things to the point where sometimes I'll stop myself because I'm like, I don't want to mess it up. So I'll pause and hesitate. So that becomes what your analysis paralysis.
Yes. Oh my God, it's real.
You end up either, I'm like, "Oh, I need to do more research on it. I need to look it up more before I actually do it." And sometimes you just need to jump in. And that's kind of how I ended up in the RV. I was like, if I hadn't just jumped and taken that leap, if I had still continued to do more research, I'd have still been at the apartment doing more research.
Right. You just got to jump out there. I think a lot of people do that, especially in the industry. I feel like maybe just because that's the industry that I'm in, but I noticed that a lot of people, they think about things, but they have a lot of fear of just getting started. But it's like, if you don't start, then you have no measure of anything. Yeah. A lot of the things that we make up in our head don't even come true at all.
It's not even a thing. Same thing with the podcast or social media or whatever. Like for years I was like, I'm not in Instagram. I'll put up a picture here and there. I won't even really like put a whole bunch of stuff. Of course, I don't want to be braggy. I don't want to show off and put all kinds of things. So I'm always mindful about what I put. And so once I started RV life, I noticed that everybody always like kind of like does a vlog, talks about everything. So I was like, I'm going to go over on TikTok.
Okay. How's TikTok?
I was like, I don't have any friends over on TikTok, so we're going to start this. And
clean slate.
Well, it was so easy. I was like, I just sit on there and talk all day.
this is what I'm trying to figure out with TikTok. Because I told my friend that recently. I was like, what do you do on there? Because she was like, girl, just get on there and be on yourself. You just talk I feel like an old lady sometimes when they keep coming out with all these different apps. I'm like, another app that I gotta download on my phone that I gotta learn. And oh my
Oh, Queer,
goodness.
yes, me too. Me too. That was exactly. I was like, I would have never gotten on TikTok, but I only got on because I knew, again, my own self getting in my own way. I was like, I don't want to do it on Instagram because, one, I felt like my Instagram should still be my makeup portfolio. Like, it still should be the place where people go to look up information about me. But I was like, nobody wants to hear about this RV all day on this. And so I talked myself out of it. I was like, let me go over here on TikTok. And where I had no followers. Now I have about 350 followers now. I was like, I'm excited. In 2 months that I've got, I was like, I don't even know who these people are. But there's quite a few that respond or comment. And so I feel like I got a little family. One lady was like, let us know how the interview goes. I was like, how cute is that? Like, it's actually again, building a community. You don't even know it. You're just on there. I'm just sharing whatever happened. I'm like, oh, today I had an accident, or today I went to the mechanic. Today I'm doing this. I had a lot of power issues in the very beginning, in the RV, and so everybody was asked, giving help or sending prayers, whatever it was. So it's kind of, again, you just never know until you just do it.
Do you have Wi-Fi in there?
Not yet. So Wi-Fi
But
is
you
on the
can have
list.
Wi-Fi in the RV.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. A lot of people work remote, so there's a lot of different options for Wi-Fi. You can get the basic option where you just get hotspots from Verizon or T-Mobile or your provider, or there's Starlink, which is the big one. That's the one where people are like literally working every day and need constant, so they have a satellite connection, which is better.
I like that because that's like my biggest I need Wi-Fi. I went to the Dominican Republic a few weeks ago, and the biggest reason I was ready to come home is the Wi-Fi was trash and I missed my cat. That was the only two reasons. So I was like, I gotta get out of here. I can't even get any work done. I had to get my best friend, I had to get her to download my episode for me, upload it to YouTube. I'm
Oh,
like, I'm not
wow.
missing a Wednesday. I've been consistent all these years. I've never missed a Wednesday to release an episode, but it was like that bad. The progress bar when I went to go download it said 3 weeks.
No, it didn't. It
It
said
sure
3 weeks.
did. 3 weeks. And I was at a resort, so I need
Oh,
the Wi-Fi.
yeah, I've leaned again. This has we talk about things that you've learned or things that you're remembering about yourself. Like, I consider myself a baker, and a baker in all things because I follow directions. I'm not a chef or a cook because that requires a little bit of thinking outside of the box and a little ingenuity in your in life. So when I'm in here, I think it took me 3 weeks for me to realize that I didn't always have to put, like if I wash my hands, I would always let the water go down into the sink. And I bought biodegradable soap so that it is easy for it to be degrade to be disposed of. And I was like, oh, I don't have to, and you have to pay to have all your tanks dumped. So I was like, if I'm just washing my hands or washing a cup out, I can actually pour the water outside. But it wasn't it you just do things as, you know what I mean? Like, this is again thinking outside of the box. I was like, oh yeah, I can actually refill. What did I do? I had a bottle to refill water, and so I go into the Walmart to refill, get a little 5 gallon water. Eventually I'll get a filter so I don't have to do the 5 gallon water thing. But again, we're in the very beginning stages of this, and also
Figuring
the
it
very
out.
beginning of the money stages is this as well. So I went into the Walmart to get some water, which is why I'm here today. I need to get some. And the gentleman, I didn't have a cap to put over top of it. And so the gentleman was like, oh, just go to the refill bin. There's some other bins there that have caps on them. And I was like, huh? I was like, I'm so used to, like, if it wasn't, it says refill caps right here. And it was empty. So I was like, there's no cap. And he was like, just go grab one off of another bottle. And I was like, why didn't I even think about that?
I would probably be the same way. Like it has to be like this most
Yes.
times. But I'm learning how to kind of like release like some of that and just
Exactly.
go with the flow and figure things out on the spot.
Yeah, that is definitely a big push in this whole lifestyle. Like, you really have to start forcing the brain so that it becomes more automatic. Like, it happens for me here and there. I don't think I realized how much of a rule follower I was until this. I'm like, oh, actually, there are most things I follow all the rules. I was like, and so now I just have to kind of be able to think beyond the space of what's right in front of you. You're like, oh yeah, there's actually way more possibilities and way more opportunities. You just kind of have to think beyond.
How's doing your makeup in there?
Girl. It is, I still have, I have, actually, I have it right in front of me too. I have this Ricky mirror, and this guy is, it is pretty awesome. It's pretty bright. I don't wear much makeup. I don't know if you've seen me in a while. If I go to an event, then I'll have makeup on, but for the most part, every day, I enjoy doing everybody else's makeup so much more
That's
than
neat.
doing my own.
This is for the
So,
podcast or for
yes.
video events, but on a regular basis, I always tell people, don't be looking for this girl. If you see me out in the streets, don't be looking for her. I don't look drastically different, but this is not how I walk around on a day to day.
Same here, same here. I've managed to cut down my morning routine to the very basics. So there is no makeup in that process. There is a lot of skincare. I still try to take care of my skin as much as possible and have all the oils and moisturizers and eye creams and all kinds of things. But that's we sometimes with the production, we are also far away from our base, so they book hotels if you're too far or if you work too late, that kind of thing. And so one night they were like, oh, do you want a hotel? And in the beginning I was like, no, I don't need a hotel. And I was like, oh yeah, actually I do want a hotel. I was like, yeah, but I turned on every light, I flipped on all the lights. I was like, the appreciation value that I had for being in this hotel room, being able to have hot running water as long as I possibly wanted to. The drawer was like janky. I think pre-RV I would have been bothered. Oh, sorry. I was like, oh, this is nice. This is still a really nice, nice room. The bed was comfy. It was warm in there. I was like, all the things that I am, again, when you break life down to the basics are, I make sure I have heat, I have water, I have food, I have gas in the tank.
You're
And
safe.
it's just the basics of basics is where my mind is majority. So whenever you do anything outside of that, now it's like luxury. It's like,
Yes, I
oh wow,
love
this is amazing.
you.
So
This is so fun. How long do you plan on doing this? Is there like an end date, or are you just gonna do it till you can't do it anymore?
I said 2 years. Only because I think I said 2 years about moving to New York. I was like, I'm gonna do it 2 years and then we'll see what happens. If it works, it works. If it doesn't, I'm out. So still, the main goal is really to kind of save some money. And I do want to explore, but I do want to get in a better financial space. And so I'm going to try to, I've already seen how to live and save, but you can also live this lifestyle and not save any money as well. I think it just, again, it's just a mindset. You have to be able to know that, oh, I don't need to go into Target and Walmart just because I'm in the parking lot and buy all the things. Like, I can kind of, or I don't have to stay at an RV park because RV park, the ones up here are like $150 a night. And so you can stay in the parking lot of the Walmart for free and nobody buy. So it's just about making choices that are in line with where it is that you want to go. And so mine is, again, I really want to try to have a little bit more savings, pay off some bills, and by the time we're out of this, hopefully get an art studio or a piece of property that I can build whatever I want to build on.
Yeah. And I just love the transparency about just like, I'm trying to save some money, get my finances in order, because I know a lot of times just perception online, when you see people, working these big productions and, we just make it up in our head like, oh yeah, their life is great. You know what I'm saying? Not to say your life isn't great, but I think, I know for me, I'm like, how much do I want to share about what's really going on in my life? Because it's like the perception. People just think that everything is all good, but it's like we go through all of the same things that everybody else goes through. And I think I realized that too. I interviewed Sam Fine at the top of last year, and even he was just expressing like, I'm still a makeup artist, just like you're a makeup artist. I got to get down and oil people's legs, on the floor. I'm taking my kit, just like how you're doing a job, I'm doing like the same job. I've just been doing it a little bit longer, have different clientele, but I'm still a makeup artist at the end of the day, still doing the dirty work. So.
Absolutely, absolutely. I think I mean, that could be a whole separate podcast. Talking about how the industry really works as far as finances and payments and where people are and how social media has really taken it into a different way, a different space of people putting their own ideas of what they think is happening. So and it's like you almost have to do it too, because you're like, oh, I have to put out the best things because I have to make it look a certain way so that I'm attracting that kind of client. But at the same time, it's a little deceptive because it's not the actual, like you said, it's not the actual nitty-gritty of what's actually happened. Like we're still struggling, we're still not working every day. I went last year, the strike was July to the end of November. And so there was no work between July and the end of November.
Crazy.
So to go that long without any paycheck. So and that's what happens. Like you make nice money when you're working, but then you know that there's a space in between. So I try to save as much as I can while I'm working so that during the downtime I can survive. And then you're hoping that a show comes sooner rather than later. And a lot of times it comes later. So then you're relying on credit cards, friends and families, personal loans, whatever it is that you need to do to be able to get through to the next time that you get a job. And then the cycle starts back over again. You get a bunch of money, you're like, oh my God, I'll pay off all these things. Then you save some, and then you're not working, and then you go back into that same space. And so that is really what has happened. Since I've been in the union, honestly, I think I came in 2017, 16, 17. And ever since then, it's been that kind of cycle with TV where the projects are, like I said, 3 to 6 months. And there's a anywhere from 2 month to 6 month break in between. And so I mean, I do pick up some smaller jobs in between, but those smaller jobs still. They help you get by. They're not able to, you can't sustain off of those. So it is definitely a roller coaster. You have to love it to be in this business.
Because people will look at us like, you're in, like, why would you choose that for your life? Like, why would you choose instability? But like you said, you love it, so sacrifices.
Yeah, you really have to think about what it is that you love the most. I mean, sometimes I think about my government job, and I was like, yeah, I could have been sitting real nice right about now if I was still working and able to, get a paycheck every week and retire and start planning and vacationing. I actually had a really good schedule at my job. It was just miserable. Like the people were not happy, and I was like, I don't want to be like them in another 10 to 15 years and be that unhappy with life. So I gave up a lot for this instability, but I think it balances out. It's worth it for me. I enjoy the people that I come in contact with. We just have to work harder to maintain that balance and to keep positive and keep that happy spirit. Like it can get to you if you allow it.
Yeah,
The
like you just have to
instability.
choose your hard.
Absolutely.
How do you keep yourself uplifted?
It's funny, I was just making my little list just now of things that I need to make sure that I make time for. And one is leaning into my art, making sure that I at least have I set my goal for this year is 30 minutes every couple of days. And I need to be a little bit more specific about that. But I know my schedule can be kind of crazy. Our days can be anywhere from a 12 to 16 hour day. So trying to say I'm going to have 30 minutes is not always not as actual. So I was like, at least twice a week, if I can make sure that I have those 30 minutes to just sit and do nothing and do my art, I think it brings me a level of peace. Making sure that I'm always, again, continuing to learn more about RV, about life, about what's happening. Being able to take time away. This is going to be my new thing for this year, is that now that I have mobility to be able to just drive to, there's a couple of opportunities of people that have farms or vineyards or winery, I mean wineries, distilleries. There was like a petting farm, there
That
was a
sounds
lavender
great.
farm, all kinds of cool things. So I was like, I can just go and go to the farm and you can stay all night. And they were like $20. I was like, what? This is about to be my new favorite thing.
I love
So
it.
again, just to be able to get away and disconnect and connect more with nature, be more active. Like you get really sedentary. I enjoyed my apartment a little bit too much. I really enjoyed, I set it up really nice after the pandemic. I had it to the point where it was only a one person apartment. Like anybody was coming to visit, I didn't even have a place for you to sit down.
Oh,
The plants were all on the sofa. Like I had this fabulous chair that took up a whole bunch of space, but I loved it. And I was like, I really enjoy this apartment. I was like, but I gotta get out into the world. I need some experiences. I was like, I can't take this chair with me when I go.
yeah,
I was like,
true.
I need to take some experiences and get out and see life and nature and all the things that kind of bring you a little bit more joy. So I definitely feel like I just need to connect more with the things that I love, which is people and art and nature.
I love that. I love that. Speaking of experiences, like, have you thought about what you want your legacy to be as far as like
Ooh.
the industry or anything like that?
That is a good one. That is a good one. I feel like someone asked that question a long time ago, and we were talking about legacies, and it was a thing of, it was a panel of us. I remember this specifically now. There was a panel of us, and we were all talking about legacy. And the young lady beside me was like, and I'll mention her name just because it makes it that much more funny. Stephanie Flohr was sitting beside me, and Stephanie Flohr is a take over the world kind of person. And she was like, I want to touch every person. I want to take everyone everywhere. I want to do all these things. And so her legacy was so large. And when it came to me, I was like, if I just help one person, I think I'm okay.
Right.
And I think I'm still in that space. It's like, I don't mind catching, making the smaller connections with people. I was like, because I know how meaningful those smaller connections have been for me. So I was like, just to be able to share the little bit of things that I know, share the experiences that I have, bring people with me along the way. I feel like as long as I can say, I've taught these classes, I've had these shows, I've brought these people with me. I mean, that's enough legacy for me. I'm not trying to change the industry or change the world, but all the little steps that I can do, again, if that feeds into someone else, let them be the ones that are going to change the entire world. Hopefully that will inspire them to keep passing that on.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah.
I feel it. Is there anything that's coming up next for you that you could share?
What's coming up next? Actually, no, nothing that I can share. But I do have a couple of things that may be in the works. So we're just gonna make sure that we keep our prayers up. Our prayers up. There's a couple of other TV shows. Again, I think as we start getting back into the swing after the strike is over, that there's going to be a lot of things coming that happening. quite quickly and all right together. Yeah. And so when that happens, when things happens all at the same time, it kind of widens the pool of people that they need to pick from, because they're like, oh wait, we used to only call these 5 people, but now we have 10 shows at the same time, so now we need to, you know, expand who we call. Yeah. So there's a couple of shows out there that I'm hoping that I'm able to, again, hire my friends, hope that I can lead the team and bring some people with me. So we'll keep our fingers crossed on those.
Yes. Okay. And it seems like you're like in a flow, right? Like a ease, like a it's like no urgency to everything right now. It feels like you're just kind of like coasting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good coast though. It's not a coast. You know how sometimes you feel like you're coasting and you're just like out floundering and you're like, oh, this is a coast, but this is like a very meaningful coast. So I feel like it's leisurely, but it's still purposeful, it's still intentional. So I definitely am enjoying it. I've let go of a lot of the pressure on myself to do all the things and to be everything to everyone. And I'm like, sometimes you just have to be who you are for yourself and just kind of not like, and not to sound in the selfish term, because it's going to sound really crazy, but if you all on for the ride, come on kind of thing. But it's pretty much in that space. It's like, I'm going to grab whoever's going to come with me, and then we're just going to keep on moving.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. Well, guys, well, before I let you go, I have to ask you the Friends and Beauty rapid fire questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
So
absolutely.
Whatever comes to your mind, just spit it out, or you can elaborate on it if you need to.
Okay.
So the first one is, what are the top 3 keys to your success so far?
The top 3 keys to my success so far are networking.
I love networking.
Yes, networking, making sure that you are making those meaningful connections, again, in not opportunistic way, but just in a very genuine reaching out and connecting with people, again, for both benefits. The other thing is always taking classes, expanding, whether it's a class in person, whether it's a class online, whether it's doing your own personal research, 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 research. Like, you can never have enough. But to piggyback off of that is just not to let the research or the not knowing stop you from moving forward.
Yeah.
So it's like those 3 things. It's like always networking, making those connections, taking classes and educating yourself on whatever it is that you want to do to try to move forward, but also not allowing it to stop you from moving forward. Don't put those pretenses on yourself that I have to be a certain person, or I have to be a certain way. It has to look a certain way. It has to do. I've done it so many times. I can't tell you how many things that I've wanted to do. But because it didn't look a certain way, or it wasn't like someone else's, I did the comparison thing and I'm like, I won't do it because theirs is better. And you're like, McDonald's and Burger King both have very successful businesses and they both sell burgers.
Right.
So if that's the case, there's enough space for us to all do makeup, for us to all have podcasts, for us to all have a bag, for us to all do the same thing. No one can be you. You bring your own personal story to it and your own personal experience. So you kind of have to just do what makes you feel good.
Yeah, do what makes you feel good. I love it. How do you measure your success?
How do I measure my success? I have kind of changed my thought process on measuring success. I used to measure my success by all of the accomplishments that I've done. Mm-hmm. And I had to kind of stop that, only because I feel like, and I know this is supposed to be rapid fire, it's quick, it's not a, that I feel like we have a list of things, and if our list isn't totally full and we haven't done all the things, if we haven't checked all the boxes, that we don't feel accomplished. And if we don't feel that accomplished, then we're not successful. Mm-hmm. And so trying to step away from that old thought process and leaning into the idea that just kind of, again, existing, being able to pay it forward, being able to take care of other people, being able to just be kind, that is a level of success that you could never put money in.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh my gosh. What is the best advice you've ever received or a piece of advice that's always stuck with you?
A piece of advice that's always stuck with me. A piece of advice that has always stuck with me is being humble, remembering where you came from. So in that it can be a little daunting because, again, being humble sometimes stifles you because you feel like you shouldn't be proud or boastful. Mm-hmm. But also just taking, not leaning so far into that part of the definition, and more so into just, again, remembering that we came from the most humble beginnings. I had like 4 brushes and a bunch of makeup from the Rite Aid and from the CVS. And so to be able to come to a place where you're like, oh, I literally have done all of these things. And you have to remind yourself. I actually just wrote this down yesterday of my things to prepare for the new year, is writing down a list of your accomplishments, remembering all the things that you've done just over the last year. Like, mm-hmm. you don't have to go all the way back to the beginning, but if you go back last year and you think about, oh wow, I did all of these things.
I normally tell people to make a list of 50 things that they accomplished before they set their goals for the next year.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how many things you're like, oh wow, I actually did all of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think you just forget because you're so busy working on that next, on what's next, whatever's next, mm-hmm. that you forget where you came from.
Yeah.
So the concept of being humble or just remembering where you came from.
Yeah. Yeah. What advice would you give to another makeup artist who's just ready to give up right now? And they're just like, I'm going back to corporate. Forget this. I'm throwing in the brushes. She's like, I've been there.
Yes, I have been there. I have definitely been there. I've been there several times. And it is definitely, it's just one of those things of, sometimes you have to sit still and really listen to your heart and be kind to yourself that you're not taking steps backwards if this is what you need to do. So you really have to think about how your life is moving. I'm not about, losing it all just to do makeup. So if you are in a space where you're about to lose the shirt on your back, the place that you live, the car that you're in, it's okay. Go back to that corporate job.
Yeah.
It is okay. It is okay. You are not taking steps backwards. You are being smart. You're making informed decisions about what you need to do to move forward in life. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean that you'll never do makeup again. It means, hey, I need to pivot and figure out how else can I fit this thing that I love into this lifestyle.
Absolutely.
Now I have time to either teach someone else, or now I have time to open up a little small shop and do it on the side. Like, however you can pivot that to make it still part of your lifestyle, it's possible. It really is possible. It doesn't have to be that one linear way. And I guess that's the main thing. It's just not to think so, how we both said we think, not to think so one directional, that it is really, that the possibilities are absolutely endless.
Yeah, I like that advice. What is a resource that helps you or has helped you in your business that you could share with the Friends in Beauty community?
Ooh, a resource. I mean, it's got to be you're supposed to be networking. It's got to be your community.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be your community. We really need to talk more to our friends about the hard things. Yeah. And I think that's why people are so... there's such a misconception about our status or where we are in the industry or how things are perceived, because they're putting their own idea when they see something and not having enough knowledge about the behind the scenes of it. Yeah. I was like, we need to be okay with talking about the hard stuff, talking about rates, talking about contracts and negotiating, and talking about, I didn't even realize that some of the jobs, like people were negotiating, can negotiate a car, you can negotiate a rental car, you can negotiate a an increase. Like, your contract is a baseline. It's where it starts. That means they can't pay you any less, but you can ask for as much as you want to.
Okay.
And so we start to look at other people and like, oh, they ask for us too much. No, no, no. Again, this is back to, again, my issue that I definitely need to work past, because I'm watching folks and I'm like, they're so entitled. They feel like they're supposed to have all these things. Actually, yeah, you should feel that way.
Yeah, they're asking for what they need.
Yeah. I was like, they are really asking for the things. And I'm like, actually, that would be very helpful if I had that. I was like, but having those conversations with people, you're realizing, like, you're like, oh, that is an option. Like, I can actually ask for that.
Mm-hmm.
We don't talk to each other enough.
Yeah.
You're always afraid that somebody's going to take what you have. Or, you know what I mean? Like, everybody's going to come. Somebody's going to get my job. It wasn't your job to have if they get it.
Right. It was theirs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I love it. So the last one, I just want you to fill in the blank and just say, my name is blank, Bethany. And the key to longevity and success is blank, like whatever you think it is.
Mm-hmm.
I know it's more than one thing, but you know.
I know the key to longevity and success. You know, again, my mindset has changed so much on all things that... I think I would say, so what am I supposed to say? I'm saying, my name is Bethany.
Yep. And the key to longevity and success is?
All right. So my name is Bethany Towns, and the key to longevity and success is letting go of all preconceived ideas and just taking baby steps, moving forward.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
that is the biggest one.
Yeah, because a lot can come from that. Doors open, opportunities happen, coins roll in. If you just let it happen.
We let the coins roll in.
Yes. Before you go, please share anything, your social media, or however you want people to stay connected with you, follow your journey, your RV life, everything.
Yes. So, of course, you can find me on Instagram. It is at Bethany Towns. And my TikTok, if in case you want to hear, like, again, I just ramble. So, and if you want to hear me ramble on TikTok, it is Be In These Streets.
Be In These Streets,
because I'm about to be in these streets. I'm about to be
outside, y'all.
I'm outside.
I love it. Well, thank you so much, Bethany. This has been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, learn more about you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I'm so glad that we finally got to get together. And this has really been awesome. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to the Friends in Beauty podcast. Don't forget, sharing is caring. If you enjoyed this episode, share it with another friend in beauty. Give it a thumbs up and subscribe, rate, and leave a 5-star review so that other friends in beauty can find the show. Plus, we'd love to hear your feedback. Connect with us on all social media platforms at Friends in Beauty, hashtag Friends in Beauty to join the conversation, and join our Friends in Beauty Facebook community to stay connected. Talk to you soon.